Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Hey, listen, some of you are younger than me, and so I want to tell you about something that is now extinct. Okay, it's gone the way of dinosaurs and dodo birds and 8-track tapes. I am talking about something called a letter. A letter. Sometime in the past, what people used to do is they would take a piece of paper and a pen, and they would start to write on this piece of paper. They would start out dear, and they would put someone's name on it, and then they would write words like nouns and verbs and adjectives and conjunctions, and they would make sentences. And they would put these sentences into paragraphs, and at the end, they would sign their name so the person who received the letter knew who it was coming from. They would sometimes do this kind of funky thing where they would say P.S., and they would write something else, but that's too complicated for me to explain to you younger people today. But last week we started a series called Letters, Our Relationships in Words. And in this series we're talking about the importance of relationships and about exploring and expressing the depths of our relationships through letters. That maybe we can explore and express the relationships that we have through letters maybe better than in any other way. Last week we talked about writing a letter to our friends. Today we're going to talk about writing a letter to our parents. You know, we have a pretty diverse group here at Verve, but the one thing we all have in common is we all have parents, right? You have two of them. You have a mom and a dad. Now, some of us could readily point out who those two people are because we spent our entire lives with them. But for others of us, maybe you don't know who one or both of those people are. Or maybe you haven't seen one of them in years. Maybe like me, you haven't because maybe one or maybe both of them have passed on. But still, the bottom line is we all have parents. And for the most part, our lives start with those relationships. There are exceptions, but for the most part, we start out with this relationship with these two people, and it's kind of the first and foundational relationship of our lives. And for many of us, those were pretty strange relationships, right? Like just some odd things, maybe some strained things. So parents have statements they make that are kind of odd sometimes. Maybe your parents made some of these. Like, did anyone have a parent who you'd be driving? Maybe you'd be, like, in a fight with your brother or sister in the back, and your parent would be driving and would say the statement of, don't make me pull this car over, which is really kind of an insane statement because no parent in the history of the world has ever even thought for a second about actually pulling the car over. Actually, some kid should be like, go ahead. I dare you to pull the car. You're not going to pull the car over. Parents would say things like, moms would say, wait till your father gets home, which is great. Let's make dad a monster. That's a good thing. They would say things like, you are grounded for life. Yeah, I'm never going to leave this house, right? Or they would say things like, this is for your own good. Which I'm not sure if that was always true or ever true. Or they would say, you know, this is harder on me. This hurts me more than it hurts you. And it's like, there may be some truth in that, but my butt's the thing that's going to be swollen for the next 3 days. So I don't want to hear it. You know, there are classic parental statements. There are also classic parental images, right? Most of them, I think, come from TV. Like way back before my time, there were Ward and June Cleaver. Okay, they were the perfect parents, had the perfect relationship. Any problem that happened in their family or in their lives could be solved in minutes. Every day when the beeve came home from school, he had a glass of milk waiting for him. And June did not make cookies. There was actually a whole cake every day when he came home. It's incredible that the beeve wasn't like 350 pounds coming in with all those cakes. And then you like fast forward 20 years and you've got the Huxtables, perfect parents, perfect relationship, every problem solved in minutes. Then you fast forward about 20 years and you've got the Family Guy, the Griffins. I don't know what happened, but in those 20 years, like we went downhill fast. But you know what's funny is the Griffins are not real people. It's a cartoon, but somehow there's something more real about them than the Cleavers and the Huxtables. You know, I think we watch that and we laugh at it because a lot of us can relate because they're more real than, you know, those other families on TV, other than the fact that their dog and baby are so smart. That's kind of weird. But it's like I can relate because my parents weren't perfect either. Do you remember when you first kind of had that realization that, oh, my parents aren't perfect. You know, you kind of grow up sometimes maybe idolizing your parents and they're ideal, and then one day you realize, my parents have flaws too. Maybe some of us learn that lesson in painful ways. Maybe what you realize is not just that your parents weren't perfect, but maybe there's something evil, something abusive about them. And if that's you, today's topic is going to be very sensitive, and you may wish we weren't talking about it. And I apologize if it brings up bad memories, but I think it may be very helpful to you. So I want to think about writing some letters to our parents. And again, because we can express those things, some things in letters that maybe we would never say face-to-face. You know, if you actually sat down with your parent, maybe there'd just be some things you couldn't get up the nerve to say, or maybe you'd be afraid that they would interrupt you if you started talking. But there are ways that you can express and kind of pour your heart out in a letter that you never could in person. And so I want to encourage you to think about writing a letter to your parents. When's the last time you wrote your parents a letter? I'm not talking about like sent them a card. I'm saying you actually sat down and write them a letter. Let's start out by looking in the Bible. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20 if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's totally okay. We'll put the verses on the screen for you today. And if you don't own one, we would love to give you a Bible as a gift. So back at the Velcro bar, there's a stack of them, just free gift, no catch, no cost, just grab one your way out. So Exodus chapter 20 is where we find the Ten Commandments. And even if you've never been in church, you probably at least have heard of the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to look at the fifth commandment, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. We'll put it on the screen. It says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." That's commandment number 5. Now, something really interesting happens when you look at the Ten Commandments at commandment number 5. Commandment number 5 is kind of the turning point, because the first 4 are all about our relationship with God, and then 5 through 10 are about our relationships with other people. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the first commandment that deals with our relationships with other people is about our relationship with our parents. I think God was probably very strategic and intentional about this. I think maybe he's making the point that, you know, if we're going to have healthy relationships with other people, it begins with our parents. You know, that's our first relationship in life. And if we can get that relationship right, then it really helps us to get all of our relationships right. And so God's teaching us, man, here's how to have healthy relationships. Part of it with your parents is to honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, you might say, okay, yeah, but isn't this like way back in like the Old Testament? Like, then there's like the New Testament, and, you know, things get newer and stuff. Like, Jesus showed up. That's when the New Testament starts. Maybe this changed. Maybe like this commandment changed the New Testament. Nope. Actually, let me show you another verse. In the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians, so long, you know, thousands of years later, God's still communicating with us. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Here's a quote. "Honor your father and mother," there's commandment number 5, right, "which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now, the very first word in that passage is the word children. So he's talking to children of parents. Question: when do you stop being a child of your parents? You never, right? You never stop being a child of your parents. You're always your parents' child, regardless of your past, regardless of where they live or you live now, regardless of how old you are, regardless of what they've done and what you've done, you are always your parents' child. And so this verse applies to us, and it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do." And then, quoting the Old Testament, quoting commandment number 5, it says, "Honor your parents." Honor your father and your mother. And so we're to honor them, which means to respect them or to give value to them. Now, you know what really challenges me about that fifth commandment? That there's no qualifiers in there. And I'm just going to be honest and say, I wish there was. I want there to be qualifications on this, right? I don't want it to say honor your father and mother. I want to say honor your father and mother as long as they're good people. Honor your father and your mother as long as they deserve it. Honor your father and mother as long as they've earned your respect. Honor your father and mother as long as they have good character. Honor your father and mother if they paid your way through college. You honor your father and mother if they gave you a car for your 16th birthday. But the problem is, no qualifiers for the fifth commandment. I wish there was. I wish it said, honor your father and mother as long as they loved God, loved each other, and loved you. But it doesn't say that. It just says, honor your father and mother. And so the commandment includes honoring your father and mother if they hated God, hated each other, and hated you. Still, you need to honor them. And that is not an easy thing to do, right? And I know. I had a father who was an abusive jerk. He screamed and belittled, and I was raised in a prison of fear. And I hated him. And years later, after my childhood, he died early of a heart attack. And when he died, when I got the phone call, my first response was, I am so glad I never have to see him again. And so I understand that it can be really difficult to honor your parents when your parents weren't ideal. And so maybe you ask the question, so how do you do that? If you didn't have a great mom and dad, how do you still manage to honor them? Well, I think one of the ways to do this is actually through writing a letter. There's something about writing a letter, sitting down, not face-to-face, that allows you, whether you had great parents or whether you had less than ideal parents, to start to put some thoughts together and find some ways to honor them. And so I want to talk to you about three different letters you might consider writing this week to your parents, all right? The first one is a letter of celebration. A letter of celebration. I think it's very appropriate to put down on paper the things that you celebrate about your parents, the things that you honor and that you want to remember about them. Now, this may be a real struggle for you because some of you like me might say, man, I don't know what there is to honor about that person, but think about it. Maybe you could celebrate the sacrifices they made for you. You know, the hard work that they put in, the time and the effort to provide for you or to be your parent. You know, I'm trying really hard to be a good parent, but I've come to the conclusion that even if you're a lousy parent, it's a lot of hard work. It's like hard work to be a lousy parent. It's really hard work to be a good parent, but even if you had a lousy parent, there was probably a lot of sacrifice that went into being that lousy parent for you. And so maybe you could honor that they put a lot of energy and effort into raising you. If you grew up like I did from the age of 11 with a single parent, tenfold. You know, it's tenfold the amount of work and energy they went in to taking care of you and providing for you. And they much more even deserve a letter of celebration from you. My dad left when we were 11. He walked out on us. And my mother worked a full-time job and two part-time jobs to provide for us. When my mother wasn't working, she would take me out in the backyard and she would pitch baseballs to me to give me batting practice. Like I'm hitting line drives back at the lady's head. And I need to let my mother know that I remember that. And then I celebrate those sacrifices that she made for me. A couple years ago, I sat down and I wrote my mother a letter of celebration for Father's Day. I sent her a letter and said, thank you so much for being my dad from the time I was 11. Maybe you need to write that letter of celebration. Another way you could write a letter of celebration might be to remember special occasions in their lives or special dates in their lives. Maybe when you were a kid, your parents threw you these like lavish birthday parties. I mean, right? They put up streamers and balloons and rented like clowns and magicians and ponies and elephants and stuff and had this like circus birthday party. They got you the cake you loved because it had like 4 inches of icing on top, right? And maybe it's time to reciprocate that and say, man, I should throw my parents or one of my parents a party, a birthday party, or maybe you have parents who are still married. And if you do, man, it might be worth writing a letter of celebration saying, hey, I want to tell you that I'm proud of the fact that you stayed together because you have defied the odds. And it's a really cool thing that I have parents who are still married to each other. Thank you for that. Today's Mother's Day. You could go home and spend a little bit of your Mother's Day writing a letter to your mother. You might say, I already sent her a card. I'm not talking about a card. I'm talking about you writing her a letter. And I realize that we'll get there a few days late. She won't mind. She receives a letter of celebration with you thanking her for what kind of mother she was to you. She will love that. The Bible talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, it says that we need to honor and thank our parents and our grandparents for what they've done in our lives, and that God is very pleased when we do that. And some of us need to take that very seriously and write a letter of celebration. Now, some of you might be like, Vince, that's just not where I'm at. I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree with you, but I haven't seen my parents in years. You know, I have one of my parents I haven't talked to in so long. I'm just not going to sit down and write a letter of celebration. That's not going to happen. Okay, maybe you need to start somewhere else. Maybe what you need to write is a letter of lessons learned. Second type of letter, a letter of lessons learned. See, regardless of whether or not they did a good job, you learned some lessons from your parents. Right? You learned some lessons. Maybe when you were younger, you looked at your parents and you thought, man, when I have a kid, I will not raise them the way you are. That's a lesson learned. Right? That's a lesson learned. Now, unfortunately, what we tend to do is we take all of the bad things our parents didn't do right, and we use them to blame them for all the things that are wrong in our lives today. And it's like, well, everything, all this bad stuff I've gone through, and where I'm at today is because of what you did in my life. There may be some truth in that, but even still, what would be a better approach is just to say, you know what? I choose to rise above what you did in my life. In fact, I've chosen to learn from your negative example and to become a better person because of it rather than a bitter person because of it. When I was a kid, I hated my father. And one of the main thoughts I had every day is, I will never be anything like you. And I'm not. And for the most part, I'm like the complete opposite of him. And it's because of my getting to see his mistakes and vowing that I wouldn't make those same mistakes. So I work really hard not to manipulate people, because that's what he always did, and not to take advantage of people, and to put other people before myself, and to be humble, because, man, that was the opposite of the example he set for me. And so I actually have learned and become a better person because of his bad example. Maybe we really do learn from bad lessons. Maybe we learn more from bad lessons. When I was a kid, I just had this thought all the time that there's nothing good in my dad, and so I was going to be the opposite of him. But I've actually discovered in more recent years that I learned a few positive lessons along the way as well. It happened on an airplane. I was in the middle of the flight. I was reading a book. And this author, just in the middle of this story he was telling, it didn't even really seem to fit. But he told this this thing from his life where he had grown up and become an adult focused on about six really bad experiences he had had as a child. And he said that these six bad memories that he had basically dictated his entire life. Like everything was just painted by these six bad experiences. And finally, after years of letting that bring him down, he just made this decision, I am going to stop focusing on those and replaying those memories for my life. And instead, I am going to choose to focus on the positive things from my childhood and live in that instead of those bad experiences. And then it changed his life, and he forgave and all this stuff. And I read that, and I thought, whatever. And I just kept reading. And I read like three or four more pages, and I just kept thinking about that paragraph. And so I went back, and I read it again, and I thought, whatever. And I kept reading. And I read like three or four more pages, and I thought, I need to go read it again. And I went and read that paragraph again. And I thought, all right, God, I'll try it. And I closed the book, and I closed my eyes, and I said, God, you're really going to have to help with this one, because I don't think I have a positive thing. But God, if there was something positive that I got from my father, if there was some positive example he said or some positive thing he did in my life, show it to me. And if I need to stop focusing on the negative and start the positive, show me something positive. And to my surprise, some stuff started to come to mind. I thought, he was really generous. Like if he had money in his pocket and somebody needed money, he'd just give it away. And I'm kind of generous. I try to be generous. And he was really funny. And he had a way of making other people feel comfortable. Like he would always include people and make people feel at ease. And it was interesting. It became almost like I was giving the eulogy at his funeral, which I did not attend. But like for about 20 minutes, I just sat there thinking of all these things. And if I were to say good things about him, here are the good things I could say. And man, it was powerful. Searching for the lessons that we've learned from our parents can be hard, depending on your parents, but there are lessons that we've learned nonetheless, and you need to write them in a letter. Now, it may be that you write this letter and you realize, I can't send it, because it would be really unhealthy, because I have this letter of here's the negative lessons I've learned, and I'm trying so hard not to be like you, and it would not be a positive thing to send this. Still write the letter. Still write the letter, because there are things that you need to get out and get down on paper. So a letter of lessons learned. Some of you might be like, Vince, I'm not even there. Like, no celebration letter, no lessons learned. I'm not at either of those places. Well, then maybe the letter you need to start with is a letter of forgiveness. A letter of forgiveness. Julian was abandoned at the age of 5 by his father. And at the age of 35, Julian was asked what he thought of his father. And he said, I think my father is a total hypocrite. Because he goes around telling people about peace and about love, but he's never told it or shown it to the people who are most important to him. My father is a hypocrite and I have no respect for him. Who is Julian? You know his dad. His dad's name was John. John Lennon. And maybe you can relate to Julian Lennon. Maybe you had a parent who abandoned you. Maybe you wish your parent had abandoned you. Because looking back at a childhood of neglect or abuse, you realize my life would be better today if I didn't have his or her influence in it growing up. And if that's the way you're feeling, the idea of forgiving might be difficult. You know, we all have things to forgive. Some of us have small things to forgive. Some of us have very big things to forgive. But we all have things that we need to forgive in our parents. And let me just say this. Forgiveness is not saying that it's okay. You know, forgiveness, we have this false idea that if I forgive, I'm saying that what you did was okay. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying it's okay. It wasn't okay what happened. Forgiveness is saying that I am giving up my right to hold a grudge. And you have a right to hold a grudge, but you're going to give it up. Forgiveness is saying, I'm going to give up my right to retaliate or wish there was some way I could get revenge. You have a right to feel that way, but you're going to give it up. Forgiveness is just letting it go. It's not saying it was okay what happened. It's saying that I am going to let it go. And we need to forgive. Throughout the Bible, God tells us that we need to offer forgiveness all over. Like in Matthew 18, if you want to look at a place where God says that you need to forgive. And he teaches us we need to forgive the people in life who have wronged and hurt us. In fact, the Bible goes so far as to say this. It says that there is actually a connection between our ability to receive and experience God's forgiveness and our ability to extend forgiveness to others. And so it's like God wants us to really experience his forgiveness, but in some way, to some degree, we can't fully experience God's forgiveness if we don't offer forgiveness to other people. And the Bible makes it really clear that we need to offer forgiveness even to people who don't seek our forgiveness. I mean, it'd be something if like you had a parent call you or show up and say, hey, listen, I need to tell you, I realize I was wrong. Like, I wronged you in your childhood. I'm sure it's had a negative effect on your entire life, and I am so sorry. Some of us would probably faint, right? Some of us would be like, I can't believe this is happening. And you might then feel led to forgive because, like, they asked for it. But the Bible says even if they never ask, even if they never admit they were wrong, still we need to offer forgiveness. We need to forgive them in the same way and because of the fact that God has forgiven us. And if we're not willing to do that, if you say, I hear you, I just can't do it. Like, I just can't forgive. If we don't forgive, man, it just continues to eat at us and eat at us and eat at us. And eventually it can consume us. One of the scariest things about not offering forgiveness is what it can lead us to become. Now, I know some people, as a pastor, I get to like know a lot of people and hear a lot of people's stories. I know some people who I think are really bad parents, if I'm just being honest. And I think they're bad parents because their parents were bad parents. And I'm guessing they're bad parents because their parents were bad parents. And what has to happen somewhere is someone needs to put an end to the pattern, like break the chain. And the way you do that is through forgiveness. The way you do it is through forgiveness. So the Bible teaches us that we need to honor our parents. And one of the ways we do that is forgiving them for the wrongs that they've committed. Ernest Hemingway was an author, and he wrote a story once about this father and son. And this father and son had a very strained relationship, and eventually they had basically no relationship. And then the son decided that he was just going to leave, that he was going to run away and never want to see his father again. And he did. He took off. Well, when he did, the father finally realized like the magnitude of what had happened. This is his son who he no longer has a relationship with. And he decided that he was going to pursue his son and find him and ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness and restore the relationship. And so he started pursuing his son. The problem is that his son was like kind of going off to see the world. And he would go from country to country. And the father kept on like getting hints of where he was. And he would follow him to this other country. But he always seemed to be a step behind. Like he'd know his son was there days ago, but he had moved on. And so he'd go to the next country and could never quite catch up to him. Until finally the father went to Madrid, Spain, and he became convinced that his son was like right then in Madrid, but Madrid is a big city and he couldn't locate his son. And so finally he decided to take out an ad in the city newspaper, and the ad said, "Dear Paco, meet me tomorrow at noon in front of the newspaper office. All is forgiven. I love you." And the next day, the father went to the newspaper office, and he got there really early just in case his son got there early, and he didn't want to miss him. And so he's sitting there when people start showing up. Guys start showing up. First it was a handful, and then it was dozens, and then hundreds of guys start walking up. And the father is confused as to what's going on. And so finally, he realizes that there is a crowd of over 800 men, all named Paco, all hoping that it was their father who would place that ad. And people want to be forgiven, and people need to give forgiveness. I'll tell you this. When I was sitting on that airplane, and I had that 20-minute little funeral for my father, for the first time in my life, after about 13 years of trying, I really was able to forgive my father. And it was powerful. Like in that moment, for the first time in my life, I felt like I was free. There's power in forgiveness. People want forgiveness. People want reconciliation. And it's not easy. It's not easy. And maybe the best way to start is by sitting down with a piece of paper and a pen and writing a letter of forgiveness. So three types of letters that you may want to consider writing to your parents: a letter of celebration, a letter of lessons learned, or a letter of forgiveness. And we actually, to help you, because I'm serious like about you actually writing this letter, and so today back at the Velcro bar, we have paper and stamped envelopes. So on your way out, if you're like, I think I might do this, and maybe that will give me a little accountability, stop back there, and we will give you a piece of paper and an envelope so you have like no excuse, and just to kind of help you start down that path. You know, I mentioned this earlier. Some of you may need to write that letter and then not mail it. You may say, I can't mail this, but still write the letter. Some of you may need to write a letter to a parent who has passed on. And obviously you can't send that letter, but you still need to write it. because it's also about you and you putting your thoughts on paper. And so you can write it and keep it. You could write it and give it to a friend, or you can give it to me, somebody who maybe could pray for you or encourage you in that step that you're trying to take. I'd still encourage you to write it. Some of you may need to write letters that you can't send. Some of you may need to write letters that you will send. Probably most of us need to actually send those letters and start to try to rebuild that relationship or really honor our parents by celebrating what they've done in our lives. You know, God tells us to honor our parents, and there's no qualifiers. I wish there was, but there's not. And it's time for us to actually live out God's word and to honor our parents. Now, this may be fun for you. You might right now be going, I'm going to throw my parents a party. This is going to be fun. Like, I'm going to throw them a kind of party they threw me. This is going to be great. Or for others of us, it may be one of the most difficult and painful journeys we ever go on in our life. You know, today may be a day that throws you into chaos. But listen, if we want to have solid, healthy relationships in our life, if we want to, the Bible says, live a long, full life, if we want things to go well with us, we need to honor our parents. And listen, if you have a parent like me who wasn't ideal, it probably has left you with like a gap in your life. Because the way God arranges it is so that you have these two parents, and these two parents pour unconditional love into you and kind of fill up this love need that you have. And so maybe you've gone through your entire life realizing there is something missing in my life because I had a parent or I had two parents who were missing or who didn't love me the way they were supposed to. But here's the good news. The good news is that you have a perfect Father in heaven who loves you with a perfect love. And he wants to come into your life, and he wants to fill that hole inside of you. And you can get to a place where you have a relationship with him where he makes you content, where he gives you that joy you've been seeking your whole life, where you learn to be satisfied in him, and you don't have this longing anymore for something that you could never have. So we're going to give you a few minutes right now just to think about how this applies for you. Maybe some of you need to think about what letter you're going to write to your parents. Maybe others of you need to accept God's love for the first time in your life. Maybe you need to talk to him and say, God, you make this offer in the Bible that you want to adopt me as your child and have this relationship with me and love on me. God, I say yes to that. Maybe some of you need to remember that God sent his son Jesus to live for you and to die for you and to remember what he did on the cross, which is like the ultimate expression of love. And if you want to do that, we have communion to help you. It's on the three tables around the room. It's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that remind us of Jesus' body and blood. It's just this way to remember and thank him for what he did. And so we're going to give you some time to think about your next step. By the way, you might also be thinking about some friends that you're like, man, I wish my friend was here. Because I have a friend who, like, this is exactly what they need to hear. And if that's so, man, that's part of the reason we have our Monday night service is you can, like, call somebody and say, hey, man, come tomorrow night to my church. I'll come back and I'll sit through it again with you. But you need to hear this. Or we also have our online services every day of the week starting Tuesday where you can have a friend watch online and kind of get this message if you have somebody that God's kind of put on your heart that needs to hear it. So I'm going to pray, and we'll give you guys a chance as the band plays one more song just to think about what is my next step in my spiritual journey. How do I apply what I heard today? Let's pray. God, this is a very sensitive topic for a lot of us. A lot of us had difficult relationships with our parents. Maybe some of us have parents who have passed on. Maybe some of us have parents who are distant from us geographically or relationally. And God, I pray that this message and this morning puts us on a path towards health and wholeness in our lives. God, hopefully towards reconciliation in those relationships or just through celebrating those relationships and thanking our parents that we've got some good ones. But God, we want to be people who live out your word because, man, I'm convinced that you love us and the life that you have for us is the best possible life. And so when you say honor your father and mother, that's the best way to live. God, maybe we need to honor them by writing a letter. So God, would you put on our hearts in these next few minutes what it is that we need to do? Is there a letter we need to write? Do we really need to seek a relationship with you that will give us the parent we've always wanted? What is it that we need to do? God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.